Tonight, the Lord has put on my heart, as I mentioned to you, God willing, we will get into a Revelation study, and I'm looking so forward to the Spirit opening that up to us. But I've been encouraged these next couple Wednesday nights to examine the wondrous glories in the Word, throughout the Word of God as it's used, the word baptism. And I believe by the grace of God over these next two Wednesdays, I believe that again by His Spirit, we'll know a way a little bit more perfectly, a little more completely. I'm so thankful to God to have this opportunity and this encouragement. I'm grateful to God that many of these things, I think all of these things we would know, but then to look into some of the layers of them, I believe it'll have us rejoicing. So I'm trusting Him of what His plan will be. But to begin, we see this type of baptism right from the beginning in many different ways in the Word of God. From death to life, so magnified with Noah and his family as he was delivered through the flood. Again, what limit will you put on the encouragement of the power of his resurrection? You see, you have the type in that of the death to life, but then you talk about the power of the resurrection and you think of the type that we have given to us of the bridal truth in Noah. And many people think that all the people that were destroyed at that time were all sinners upon the earth. They weren't. You'll read in the Word of God that it said there were some good men or good people. Well, you can't be good without the Lord. They were just. And it's just the same as when the tribulation comes upon this earth. The first trump rapture will be the bridal saints. And the bridal saints will be a company that will be taken out from among the saints. They are the ones that love his appearing. And I thank God as he typed, there were eight lives in that ark. Again, the number for the bride. And so many other things there. But we see again from the very beginning this type of the baptism. The Lord took Israel out of Egypt through the sea, didn't he? He brought them out of Egypt, took them through the sea, gave them life out of that death that they were in. Again, we see the type of this with the crossing of the Jordan through the water into the promised land, from death to life. And again, you think of the promised land, and God encouraged us in that power of his resurrection. Why would we not walk all the through the land? Amen? And understand that God has given us all. He's given us all of this truth, hasn't he? And that's that whole counsel again. May we walk all the way through it. May it be something that we rejoice in. But in Leviticus 8:6, we begin to see this very personal as far as this type of baptism upon people. In Leviticus 8:6, we see in two places in that portion of Scripture, where Moses, and again, Moses was a Levite. He was from the tribe of Levi. He washes Aaron, the high priest, at the door of the tabernacle. Just as we recently studied John the Baptist. And did you know John the Baptist? Again, he was from the tribe of Levi. He would baptize Jesus, the great last and true high priest. He baptized him in the Jordan. So we see this type coming forward early on. If you turn over to Exodus 29, this will kind of give you a little bit of a understanding of this. And in Exodus 29:4, it says, "And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water." So here we have some of the origins of the cleansing that would testify of the cleansing that would come. And that cleansing would take place once and for all. And that's the finished work of Jesus upon the cross. And that cleansing, praise God, is the washing in the blood that takes us from life, death to life everlasting. And that's not just a type. Praise God, that was the very power of his resurrection. So we thank God for this encouragement. So we can see early on, we could go into more and more examples. The Lord was using this type of washing for us to prepare us as we go through the Word of God. If you go, I just mentioned then in John 1, we hear the witness of John the Baptist. And we recently had studied that, and he was the proclaimer of Jesus. He introduces him, and we see that he baptizes with water. Now turn on over to Acts 19:4. We'll talk a little bit about the baptism of John, and I think it explains it very well in Acts about John's baptism. And John's baptism in Acts 19:4, this is when Paul is dealing with these believers about not only receiving the Holy Ghost, but he obviously finds out that they've only been baptized in John's baptism. And he says there in the fourth verse, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And we'll just stop right there. So we see that John's baptism was of repentance. And John's baptism looked forward, which was similar to the washing that was performed by the priests. It looked forward to the high priest who would come. And praise God, our high priest, you think about Jesus. Now, yes, he was baptized, but he would not be washed. But the great high priest, our Jesus, he would come to wash us of our sins once and for all. I love that. See, he would come and do all this once and for all. But you see, that's just it. John's baptism still looked forward to the final washing by the blood of Jesus that would come. John's baptism, if you think about this, it still focused on repentance of sin, didn't it? You see, it was for repentance. It was for repentance where Jesus in his blood gives us the rejoicing in our baptism that our sins are taken away forever. Our sins, praise God, are never to be remembered again. Isn't that wonderful? We know that even the sacrifice back in the Old Testament times, it brought the remembrance of that sin over and over each year. And that the Lord was faithful and true, and it was still the blood, and we understand that. But again, that type again was looking forward. It was always looking forward. And I thank God that we look back and it is finished. And praise the Lord that the Lord Jesus has fulfilled all of this for us. But that is why, brothers and sisters, that Jesus himself, he was baptized. He must be baptized. You think, even though he was sinless and perfect, but by his baptism in the Jordan, he took the place for the head of a sinful race. See, he became man, didn't he? And it was through his baptism that he claimed the place of the first transgressor. In Isaiah 53:12, it says there that he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many. And in that death, in his death, he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Praise the Lord. So isn't that so amazingly wonderful that he took our place completely? Completely. And again, that every detail of the word of God, of all of prophecy, was fulfilled exactly in the life of Jesus. Amen. And I think of the absolute perfection of our calling as the sons of God. Everything about our life and the perfection that we have in our life for us to fully mature for him, it's the same perfection. Now, I'm not talking about the same perfection that he was without sin perfection. I'm still talking about the perfect love of God for your life. I'm talking about the perfect love of God for my life. I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I know in that perfection of the Father's love, he loves me with the same love that he loves his only begotten son, because it's the same life of his only begotten son that lives in me. I pray that we take this, and I pray that we'll rest in this, is because of Jesus, and only because of Jesus, and only because of the life of Christ in me, but I am accepted in the Beloved. It's not just I'm tolerated in the Beloved, you're accepted in the Beloved. You're longed for. That fellowship is just, it's the same longing. Now are we the sons of God. And there's no differentiation in that love. Amen. He loves us. He loves us with the same love, the same intensity that he loves his only begotten, because it's the same life that lives in me. Praise the Lord. We settle down in that, and I'll tell you what, you'll really grow up. I settle down in that, and I'm really going to understand grace. Yep. That I'll tell you what, you love me like that, Father? I do believe. I do believe then more and more of the Word of God. See, because faith worketh by love. I can try to memorize stuff. I could quote it like, and I'm telling you, I don't want to say anything more, but I've seen a lot of people in my lifetime be able to quote a lot of scripture. But they couldn't really believe it in the most perfect way because they didn't have the love. Didn't have the love. Know the love of Christ. You know that love of Christ, I'll tell you what. Your growth, there's nothing that'll stop it in Christ. It's unlimited. Amen. Because that's his will, that we would know that. And in that love, that's how we'll believe him. Praise God. But you see, this is what he did for us. His death, he was made sin for us. But in his coming out of the water, he was raised, and his life, praise God, is that wonderful new creation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Romans 4:25 says he was raised for our justification. Praise God. He was raised for our justification. His life in me, I am justified just as he. He's perfect. I have that perfect life. I have that justified, perfect life in me. No wonder the dove sat upon him. Amen. And as the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When he came out of the water, that dove rested upon him. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Again, so wonderful foreshadowing. That statement, in a sense to us, was foreshadowing his finished work on the cross. But the joy of the Father, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father saying that as if it already happened. Because that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. It calls those things which be not as though they were. Amen? It's just like everything has been given into his name. All power, all principality, all that. It's already there. But yet it just hasn't been revealed. It's true. We're just waiting for that. But it's already done. Amen? See, the devil, he's completely done. He's completely done. There's nothing that's going to stop that. And we need to understand that. But he's not going to be cast into that lake of fire till after the millennium. All right? But how much are you willing to count done with the Lord? Praise God. Amen. See, that's when the grace of God really begins to work in our lives. And by the grace of God, I believe, gives us boldness to really believe the Lord that, you know, Jesus, you're going to perform that good work which you've begun. I just want to stand, and I want to withstand, and I want to, having done all, to stand. I don't need to be tossed to and fro and rocked to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I don't need to get bent out of shape. By the grace of God, I need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. How could we ever, by the grace of God, Lord, stop us to neglect so great salvation? We are in a time and an offering of salvation with eternal glory. I'm telling you, it is so exciting. It's so wonderful. And God help us just be immersed in that truth and love. What a privilege it is. But you see, from there we move on to baptism in Jesus' name. That was the apostles' baptism. There were those in Acts, and since we're there in Acts, let's just go ahead and talk about this in Acts chapter 19, just going back there if you moved. But there were those in Acts after the Lord had been crucified, after he had risen, and after he had ascended to the right hand of the Father. They were still oblivious, in a sense, to Christ rising from the dead and needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And if we go back to Acts 19, let's read about them and read him from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Now think of this. See, and these were those disciples. Remember as it talked about them with John and different things of that nature. These people, they loved Jesus. They were preaching about Christ. They were preaching again and the love of Jesus. And so Paul says to them, he says in the second verse, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Now, we're going to get into that more, God willing, next week. It's hard not to just jump right in there, you know. But what a precious encouragement. But that, God willing, will be for next week. But he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. See, John was always saying, you believe on Jesus, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. See, and it's important. It's a precious thing to be baptized in his name. Praise God, I'm of him. I'm baptized in his name. I'm baptized in Jesus. Praise God, I'm in that body. That's my profession of faith. Such a precious encouragement that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen? See, and what we're talking about here is our baptism today, going over to Romans. This is what our baptism today is in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. It says there, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. See, we've been crucified with Christ. We've died with him, amen? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Oh, what power. Oh, what a life that lives in us. Oh, what more than conquerors we are through Christ who loves us. Amen. So this is it. It wasn't just some good thoughts. It's the very life of Jesus that lives in you. It's the very life of Jesus that lives in me. That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why. That's it. It's because of the life of Christ. So thankful. It's not the life of Jesse. That one died. Don't even remember when it did, but it did. 3-4 years old. I don't know. Somewhere in there. But that's when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And thanks be to God, Christ in me is the only thing that's been living and will ever live in this life. Praise God. That's it. Now people say, oh, well, I've seen you do this or that or what. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's not Christ in me. That's not who I am in Christ. And I'm sorry if I've disappointed, discouraged, hurt somebody or anything of that nature. But I'll tell you what, I'm justified just as if I never sinned. I'm new, brand new. And them's lies. And I'm going to tell you something about lies that the Lord encouraged my heart. Lies never happened. So you can talk to Jesus about or God about if you want to about all my sin and all those things. And I'll tell you know what he's going to say? Same thing if I tried to talk to him about yours. What you talking about? What's she talking about? Don't you want to live for him then? Somebody that loves you like that, gave you the life of his son, that's what it is? Not what I think or pretend it to be. That's what it is. That bothers a lot of people. But when you yield to the flesh, it will bother people. And that's why I say, by the grace of God, I'm going to yield to the Spirit, and that pleases God. All right. So, our baptism looks back at the finished work. We know his life lives in us, And all his power and privilege in that life of Christ is in us. That's why Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's because, again, of that life that lives in us. Our old man, crucified with Christ, buried with him. Amen. And through his resurrection, I am made new. The new man lives in me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love this. Old things are passed away. Remember that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. All things are become new. How new? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That new. That new. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Right here, the word of the Son of God. His faith that he gives me, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Who died for me. And I died with him, and he rose. Praise God. And that's that new man that lives in us. Amen. So we thank him for this. Now, let us also remember this and really know this. That baptism from death to life everlasting is all by grace through faith. All by grace through faith. We're speaking of the physical baptism, and unfortunately so many have put such emphasis in physical baptism. There's many religions now that run amok that somehow, some way, the watering of actual physical water upon you did something, didn't do anything, won't ever do anything. And if you're trusting in it, the only thing it's going to do is defeat you. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to tell you what, it can defeat you so much, it'll give you a Christless eternity if that's where your confidence is going to be, and that's the truth. And that's why Paul even went over there, he said, when he was chastening those ones about saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas and all this, and, you know, Paul baptized me, and he said, whoa, let's knock this stuff off. You see what I'm saying? And we want to know the word of God and really know this. And we'll just read this together over in Ephesians 2:8, even though I know most here could just quote it. But praise the Lord that it's not my quoting. It's what God, again, provided and finished for us. But in Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So again, not even my work to be baptized, actual baptism, saves me. There's nothing I could do that would save me. The only thing that saves a life is grace. And it's got to be grace. You are saved by grace through faith. It's that gift of God that gave me his only begotten Son and gave me the grace, praise the Lord, to recognize it and say, Jesus is my Savior. Praise the Lord. So we thank the Lord. That transaction was made the moment we accepted Christ Jesus as our personal Savior. The actual physical act of water baptism is our outward public witness before men. I'm born again. I had a guy the other day say, "Oh, you one of them born agains?" Yeah, I am. I'm born again. And I'm thankful that that is what he's done for me. And I'm grateful to God I know that. And I'm thankful to God that I am crucified with Christ. I'm thankful to God that going under that water is that type that I came out, and now Christ lives in me, and I live in the newness of life. But know this, water baptism is not required for salvation. We know this, but just that we could tell people a little bit more perfectly in Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. Romans 10, 8 through 10, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." And see, it's the word of faith, isn't it? It's not the word of works. It's the word of faith, believing God, believing the word. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." How sweet, how wonderful, praise the Lord. And, you know, we thank God that you know, he gave us the example even of that thief on the cross. They didn't have time to get down there and go get baptized and all those things, did he? And we're thankful to God, even reading there in Acts 19, we know that Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? These are believers. And yeah, they were baptized with John's baptism. They weren't baptized correctly at that time because it was time to be baptized in Jesus' name. But it wasn't that, you know, they went back and said, oh, well, wait a second here. You know, we got to start this thing all over. You need to ask Christ Jesus in your heart. I've heard people do that kind of nutty stuff. It's finished. At that one moment of, isn't that so precious? At that moment, you died and he lives. And that seed remains. And there's nothing that's going to change. And he cannot deny himself. That life lives in you. Go on over to 1 Corinthians 1:17. We've read this many different times, but I think this again so emphasizes what we're speaking of here tonight. Again, in the emphasis of the age that we live in and the emphasis of how important the Word of God, the gospel is, and how pretty much religion and even majority of Christianity, it's on so many different acts and miracles and all of these different things. Their eye is not on the gospel. And Paul said it just like this, and I love it in 1 Corinthians 1:17. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Isn't that wonderful? See, the emphasis is on the gospel, isn't it? It's not on the baptism. And once again, there'll be such euphoria about all these different things with baptism in one way, shape, or form. But God puts the emphasis on the gospel. And baptism is part of the gospel. I'm not saying it's not. But we need to understand that we can get carried away in that. I know places where, you know, people, they'll get baptized, you know, pretty much every year because it's just such a great event. Let's just do it again and again. It's like, now, honeys, that is something that you don't want to be doing that. You're thankful. You've given that. Now grow on. And you're never going to go on until you grow on. And that is the truth. Now, we also know Colossians 3:17. And this speaks of the baptism that we're in today. And Colossians 3:17, just know this, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, we do all in the name of Jesus. Amen? So I believe that's all inclusive. See, whatever you do in word or in deed, you do all in the name of Jesus. There isn't anything else to think about whenever you do something in word or in deed. And I don't think there's anything else I can think of. It's all in the name of Jesus. Had people come to me and says, you know, is it okay to pray in the Holy Spirit's name? No, it's not. You need to pray in the name of Jesus. And, you know, what happens if I just pray to, as some will say, well, to Father God? Well, you can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And, you know, why do we want to make this hard? Why do we want to make this, in a sense, well, you know, I want to talk to one and not the other, or I don't know how this goofy thing gets. I don't want to go goofy. I just want to, by the grace of God, Jesus. Now I know I got the whole Godhead's attention. Isn't that wonderful? And then I just want to thank the Father so sweetly for giving me his Son. And just to praise the Father for his Son. And then I might talk to the Son. And I know the Holy Spirit is there to minister. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Really don't have too much to say. I just listen. Amen. Sometimes we like to talk too much. But I just want to sit at that well and listen to what that wonderful Spirit, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. So, again, we need to shut this off. The simplicity in the gospel of Christ. And that's why the Lord and his word is so direct. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. So right there, we know whether we're praying, whether we're baptizing, whether we're asking for healing, whatever it would be. It's in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. How sweet that is. So that is why, in this church age that we're in, we pray and baptize only, only in the name of Jesus. Go on over to Acts 2:38. Just a couple encouragements here. In Acts 2:38 about baptizing in the name of Jesus. This is Peter, and Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." If you go over to Acts 19:5, where we just were, reading that again in Acts 19:5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And thankful to God that we just receive the Lord and what he's done. So it's in Jesus' name we're baptized. We're baptized into Jesus himself. We're baptized into him, the head of the church. We're baptized into his life, into his body. That's what all of that represents. And we're so thankful to God that we have that. Now, let's talk a little bit about when we get to the kingdom age. That's that 1,000-year period of time at the end of the tribulation. So here we are in the church age, somewhere, you know, maybe in the next 15 minutes, half hour, week, year, whatever it is. I don't think it's long. There's going to be a trumpet blast. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Hallelujah. To meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that wonderful? So that's about ready to happen. And when that happens, there's going to be a 7-year period of time called the tribulation. It is. And God is, in those last 3.5 years, he's going to pour forth all of that complete judgment. And that wrath's going to come forth. And it's going to be wrapped up at that time. At the end of that tribulation, and the Lord says, except the Lord shorten those days, there would be no flesh that would be left upon the earth. There will be peoples that go forth into the millennium. That is the time. You know, these poor fellas that are picking up snakes and things back in the southeast right now, they shouldn't be picking up them snakes. It's not time to do that. If you get bit by a copperhead, you're going to die. Don't know really what to tell you. And now the Lord in his mercy might keep you, but it ain't going to be hit and miss at that time. You're going to be able to pick up a snake and do all that kind of, I don't know if I want to be doing that, but it won't be that. The lion will lay down with the lamb, the child will be a child at 100 years. So it'll be a wonderful time in that. But we're not there yet, are we? Again, you want to be goofy? There's a certain group of people that believe we're in the kingdom age right now. And they believe Jesus is their Savior. Oh, yeah, we're in the millennium. I said, man, we're in the millennium. We missed the whole boat. I tell you, it's a total disaster, isn't it? But the reason I know is because, see, when you have itching ears, when you want to be, and sorry, ladies, but this is what I say, when you want to be a silly woman, you'll be led away. You'll go after all of these things. And I don't care how much we think we stand. Let me tell you something. But for the grace of God, we'd go in just a moment. Seen it many, many times. It grieved my heart and some of the things going on today. But for God. And just to be thankful, but to pray. And pray fervently one for another. The faith unfeigned is there's nothing more beautiful than going after God's best. Thank his precious son for that. But when we get into this kingdom age, this 1,000-year period after the tribulation, and that is when Christ Jesus takes the throne as God. And again, just to visit upon that, those that might not really understand that, you know, you do. You get into Matthew and where it says to go preach to all nations, and as it says there in Matthew as well too, which we'll touch on in a minute, where they will baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You'll understand that right before it says that, that's when everything has been, again, that Christ Jesus is established as God upon that throne, that everything's been given into him. That's not happened yet. Just read the word for God, rightfully divide the word of God. That's talking about a future time. At that time, that's how it will be. But Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God right now. His Father is on, my Father, your Father, is on the throne. All right? Now, in the millennium, he's going to hand that throne over to his Son. And he's going to rule on that throne for 1,000 years. So when Christ Jesus takes the throne as God, then and only then will we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But if It will only be then that water baptism will be done in the name of the Trinity. Now, many want to get mixed up on this because of the enemy. Because the enemy wants to do anything and everything that he can do to deny that all authority is in Jesus' name. Anytime you start to hear any doubts about the sovereignty of Jesus, the sovereignty of God, the deity of Jesus, any of those types of things, you know immediately that's counterfeit. That's counterfeit. That you get away from that immediately. Now, I'm so thankful for the Trinity, such a precious, the Godhead's wonderful, three in one. I understand there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This isn't Jesus only. No, but I'll tell you one thing. All power has been put in Jesus. That's it, only him. And that's how God has set this up. So we know that it's in his name, it's in his power, it's in his authority. We go in that name. But see, the enemy just wants to do that. He stirs that type of thing up. And see, what that does, I believe in most people, either some people are just ignorant in what they do, but then there's ones I really truly believe. It's such a fleshly thing. You think you're more holy by baptizing in all three names. We're praying in all three names. It's kind of like, you know, you see people always crossing themselves and things of that nature. It's a fleshly worship. I am so sad to say that, but it's just the truth. But I'm going to tell you something. I sincerely believe it's an absolute insult, truly an abomination to the Father, when we pray in anything other than only in Jesus' name. Because that's the word. That's the word. You can say, well, you know, brother, they were this and that. No, because that's how people get steered off. That's how error and lies come in. And I'll tell you one thing about more error. Error leads to more error. You take steps away from the Word of God, it just goes further and further and further along. It always does. The only thing that begets truth is truth. You go after truth, you'll go get more truth. But once you stop, and you're the one that'll stop. If truth is kind of limited in your life, it's not because of God. It's because of us. That we have stopped and we don't want to believe. And by the grace of God, we need to be encouraged. Amen? And that's how it is. But see, in Christ Jesus, all fullness dwells. Jesus is his only begotten Son. God's only begotten Son is the only one, the only life that pleases the Father. That's why you got the life of Christ in you. Wonderful. I'm so thankful that I wasn't just, you know, called as a cousin. You know, that would have been great if you thought about it. Yeah, whoa, you know, I'm in the relatives of God. But he don't deal that way. Sons. And nothing else, is there? Amen? I love it. I should say nothing else except the double portion where you can even be, praise God, a daughter-in-law. But that's all from the sonship. And that's all from growing up fully in him to be that double portion back to the Father. But let's go on over to Colossians chapter 1. And we'll close this up. It's just a sweet little study in this. And I do believe, God willing, next week as we venture in further, it does get so precious. Really understanding the difference of the baptism of the Spirit and the anointing of the Spirit. It's something that I think we'll see in such depths and rejoicing. If the Lord tarry for next week, we'll really encourage our hearts. But in Colossians 1, verse 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in Jesus," or in him, "should all fullness dwell." You go on over to Colossians 2:9. "For in him," in Jesus, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Amen. So see, there's no doubt. There is nothing to argue. There's nothing to question. It's all in Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's why rest in that. Be comforted in that. And don't be shy of that name, because, you know, as we started off early on today, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Well, you know what? I do a lot during the day. How about you? All in the name of Jesus. You know, coming over here, driving over here in Jesus' name. I'm thinking while I'm driving over here in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't need to be, you know, silly about it, but it's not silly. I'm just so thankful I have Jesus. I'm so thankful I speak with him and talk to him, and then he just kind of takes over the whole conversation. And it's so wonderful. It settles me down. Oh, I know you've got that. Now you've got that. You already knew that. Thank you. You give me such rest and peace and joy and comfort. And thank you, Jesus. I do. I believe you. I believe that I'm your workmanship. I just want to surrender to you more. I want to submit to you more. I want to have absolute confidence in my husband. In my husband. That's our husband. Amen. I mean, this is what we've been called to. This calling. You know, not just some bridal talk. Not just, well, we'll talk about the bride and this about that. No, this is my bridegroom. You want to talk about the bride? It's a very personal thing. And it's our oneness that we have. That company that is tightly fit, compacted together. Praise God, that's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Oh, yes. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm so thankful to God. I believe that, you know, the Spirit comes in here, and all by the grace of God, you know, we hear what he says to us. And I hear him whispering. I'll tell you what, honeys, you fight on, you run, Church of Philadelphia. Praise God. I believe it. I believe him for it. Because that's his will. That's his perfect will. Why wouldn't he want us to win it? Why wouldn't he want every, and he does. We talked about that on Sunday. There's no differentiation in the love of God. He is for his sons completely. He said it very clearly. I would have all men, every man, to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That was every life. He didn't want any to perish. That precious Jesus, you talk about what... That life and that death, that died for all sin. All sin. And just so sad that someone would be so stiff-necked to not just call upon the name Jesus. But we saw those two lives there on each side of him at the cross, didn't we? And there each one was. And there each one was, as guilty could be. They knew that they should be up on that cross. They weren't saying, oh, I'm innocent, I shouldn't be up here. No, they knew that that was their punishment. Both so guilty, dead in sin. But yet one said, that's the Christ. You're the Christ. Remember me. Remember me, Jesus. That was it. That was all that was required. Isn't that amazing? Just remember me, Jesus. And you think of the fellowship you have with him. I don't have to tell him, remember me. But it's that same name, Jesus, isn't it? And there was that other man. I'll just be stiff-necked and die. I meet a lot of folks like that. So many. So sad. And more all the time. Don't want to have anything to do. And so belligerent, even on our, I noticed on, even on TV commercials and things of that nature, just little subtleties. Oh, this, you know, isn't, you know, you don't have to be religious or you don't have, I mean, it was just amazing to me. I said, did that person really say that on a commercial? I mean, it was just mind-boggling. But yet the Word of God said it would be like that. But I'm so thankful that even though that cuts and it hurts, it also gives a praise because my Lord God said, they're going to do that. That hateful sinner's going to do that. They're going to go out of their way. And then you get into the tribulation. Do you know when they know that it's all, as that proverbial, you talk about hitting a fan, man, this thing's hitting hard. And yet they know they're going down, but it yet says they even still have pleasure in doing that. See, their minds are so twisted. Their hate is so just infected in them. That's the way it goes. And God's given us signs of that. See, the devil has not come forth like a roaring lion yet. And I'm so thankful. I'm believing him. By the grace of God, I'm going to apprehend that bridal company. And I'll be out of here. I'll be seeing it, but from a different vantage point. So we see there's no doubt that it's all in Jesus. As we close this up, I love what Brother Copley points out. Paul always referred to, Brother Copley was encouraged of this, the Lord Jesus anointed. And if you read through about how Paul would talk about him, it really was the Lord Jesus anointed. The Lord Jesus anointed. And he pointed this out, that the Lord brings out Jesus' deity. Jesus' name is his humanity. And I love that. Isn't that your friend? And he just, your lover, everything about him so personal in that name. I love, he's my Lord. He's my God. He's my Lord, my God. But he's my Jesus. He's my Jesus. And I do, that's the name I call out. Amen. Sometimes, you know, I do my Lord, but boy, it's, oh, Jesus, I love you. You know, Jesus, you love me. And then finally, that anointed shows that he's endued with that power of his might. And see, when we get to the millennium, it's going to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost will fully be revealed. It will fully be known. And that's why at that time they will baptize in that name. And to close this out, think of this. Those that want to fuss with this and twist it and all the things like that. There are 19 verses specifically in the Word of God that specifically say about baptizing in the name of Jesus. 19. There is only one verse that speaks of baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And in that verse, which is in Matthew 28:18, it's very clear and very evident that that will only be for the time of the millennium. But yet a whole giant religion and a whole bunch of other religions with them will still stick to Matthew 28:18, saying that now is the time to baptize in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I just think it's interesting, isn't it? You know, the Word of God is very clear. There's no other name. And whatever we do in word or in deed, we do all in the name of Jesus. And it wouldn't contradict itself. But it is all in that name, as we know. So I thank God for it. And like I said, next week I'm really looking forward to the glory and the baptism of the Spirit, and yet the difference in the anointing of the Spirit. I think it'll be a really sweet study for us, so praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.